Alex Newton is here, a chiropractor from Beeston. Hello.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Good to see you again. Do you remember much about... No, you'd be too young. You wouldn't
of course
anything.
I'm too young. Yeah. Sadly not, yes.
It was... See, I had those tunes as I was playing them, and I was thinking that was my first year at university. But that was actually 79. So I was... time has dulled my memory there.
Dear.
But we have things to look forward to, not just in the next 20 minutes, with some good advice and chat with you, but also the C word. Christmas is approaching.
It is rapidly. And let's perhaps share some of the hidden fears of what might be in store in those Christmas preparations that possibly will cause us to have a miserable Christmas, which wouldn't be a good idea.
Well, you know, I know it seems that some men are a bit curmudgeonly around Christmas time, and it's not that we don't like Christmas, it is just that we are expected to do a great deal of stuff.
Are you?
Yeah.
Look at me. Noticed. Okay, I must tell my husband that he has to do more over Christmas.
Now then, Mrs. Newton, when did you last go in the loft and get the box of decorations
down? Oh, well, yes. Okay, I'll let you off. But that's all he does do, I think.
Is it? Does he put the decorations up?
No, that's the children's job.
Oh, okay, fine.
They have that honour.
But there is that moment of the ladder into the loft and squeezing yourself through the hatch and lifting a box when you're bent double in the loft. I mean, that immediately is a potential problem, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, obviously, we need to make sure perhaps that we do this in pairs and have someone there to help us to not only get into the loft but getting out as well. I see many patients who've actually stumbled and slipped and fallen out of the loft and damaged their shoulders and knees and all sorts of things. But once you're up in the loft and got there, really perhaps just test the weight of the boxes before you lift them up, because often we've got to be in a stooped position to lift those, and that's really not an ideal lifting position because the amount of strain that's going to be put through the small of your back when you're going to bend. So just have a little nudge of the box and see how heavy it is to start with, and try and get really close to the box, try and bend your knees, and or maybe just get on your knees and slide it to the opening of the hatch, rather than, you know, staggering across in a stooped posture across the roof space there, and then climb down and then ease it down with a little bit of assistance from a family member or friend.
See, it always strikes me that in this world that TV executives are looking for the next great game show idea, and I think just getting the decorations out of the loft is the perfect sort of physical challenge, mental challenge, especially as you have to keep your feet on the rafters at all time. There's always that fear of your leg going through the plaster ceiling.
I'm unless sure there'll be one or two, yes.
Unless you're very
Santa's
posh.
Appearances through the ceiling of
yes,
the bedroom.
A leg coming through. I know some people have a lined loft. They have boards put down. I always imagine they must be incredibly organised and wealthy people that have done that. So when I'm up in the loft, it is always like I'm trying to balance my little feet on two rafters and reach across to that box. One of the answers I have found, I mean, obviously your mobility advice is great news. The other thing is, when I put the Christmas decorations back in the loft, I just put them literally inside the hole so that, because I know it'll be round soon enough and I'll be getting them out again.
I mean, that's the thing with boarding it out, is that you're just going to put more things in there, and you've got the act of actually putting stuff up there to start with, but also at some point removing it back down again. So we are causing ourselves potential problems there.
Another thing about Christmas, and again, I don't want to sound curmudgeonly, but all of a sudden we all have to become sort of partial lumberjacks, us men, and wrestle a tree from a cellar or a greengrocer or a DIY store, wherever you bought your tree from, a garden centre. They're particularly big and heavy, these things.
I guess they are. We tend to have, a plastic one, really, rather than a... Oh, yes, oh dear. Shock, horror. But yes, thinking about how you're going to get it onto that roof rack or into the car, again, it's probably a two-person job rather than trying to struggle on your own. You really have to use some common sense there about how you get it home. I know some shops perhaps would deliver them for you as well, so that might be worth spending a little bit extra rather than ricking your back in actually trying to get it on the car or in the car.
And if you can get them sort of in that netting, I think that helps a lot as well, doesn't it? So we'll come on to some of the other risk areas in a moment, but just at this point, you know, we've talked about Christmas decorations and Christmas trees. We're early in December, and I have pulled a muscle in my back. Right. What am I going to do to get myself in a position to enjoy Christmas? Can I get relief and respite?
I think certainly some very gentle stretching. It depends what you've actually done and how serious it is. If it is a small muscle pull or a minor muscle pull, normally it would probably settle down within 2 or 3 days. Doing some gentle stretching would help, being very careful with your posture, some mobilisation exercises, just some gentle side bending or rotating from side to side. If you've got things like sciatica, pains radiating into the legs and that sort of thing, that is probably more serious and needs more professional opinion with that. But a muscle pull in the back would normally settle down with a little bit of gentle stretching. We usually suggest people don't dive into a hot bath. That can engorge the inflamed area with lots of blood and cause it to become very stiff, and you can often go into spasm. So that is to be avoided. A warm hot water bottle might be worthwhile if it is muscular. And often the good old-fashioned ice pack is extremely effective. And we normally recommend that that's applied for about 15 minutes at a time. Make sure it's wrapped in a tea towel so it's a dry cold that's applied to the skin, and then leave it off for about an hour and then reapply again. And this has an effect on reducing any inflammation in the area. And again, you can alternate that with a warm hot water bottle. I keep emphasising that because we don't want the
area
to
get... So hot followed by cold is quite a good
alternating thing, it, yes, okay. Can be beneficial as well.
Sometimes, you know, some people say, oh, put a cold compress on, and others go, oh, warm bottle. And you're thinking, well, do I want hot or cold? And you're saying actually both maybe.
First approach would tend to be the cold, because we know that it reduces the risk of anything going very wrong. But unless there's an underlying arthritic condition, you've got other medical conditions, one would normally expect you to respond well with the ice pack. If after 3 applications of that it's still being an issue, then you could perhaps venture into the warmth.
Okay.
And maybe even alternate it.
We'll talk some more with Alex Newton in a little while about chiropractic, the world of, and also staying mobile and happy through Christmas. I suppose one thing, and this is, I think, it's the law, isn't it? If you've pulled a muscle in your back getting the Christmas decorations down, you're excused Christmas shopping, is that?
Oh,
right?
I thought you were going to say Christmas dinner then.
Excuse
Christmas shopping. Well, I'm not sure about that.
Wow.
Yes, okay.
I can see round your house. There's no leeway for my sort of mischief. Back with Alex after Snow Patrol. Snow Patrol, and that was Chasing Cars. BBC Radio Nottingham, Alan here, Alex Newton here as well, with some thoughts on making sure you get to enjoy your Christmas without any aches and pains, without any injuries. We sort of talked a bit about the relief of a pulled muscle and the like. Of course, the trick, Alex, is to not get one in the first place. So, is this something we should be thinking about? Is a little bit of exercise on a daily basis, first thing in the morning, doing a bit of...
That's always a good idea. I'm not quite sure about the sit-up-y bit. That can be something that we ought to lead into rather than that. But I think other things that we should be thinking about is sort of the hidden dangers. For start off with perhaps out and about on the evening with colleagues and friends for parties and things, and perhaps what we're wearing can cause problems the next day if we are a little bit restricted. So try and choose clothes that, yes, are perhaps tight and well-fitting, but flexible and stretchy. Because if you're wearing something that's very rigid, you're going to pull joints and muscles if you're dancing or sitting for prolonged periods of time on bar stools or in restaurants and things. If your clothing is restricted and stiff, it could give rise to muscles and joint strains you will notice the next day, because if you've had a couple of glasses of wine and you're enjoying the moment, you're perhaps not feeling these sorts of things starting to occur, and it is often the next day when people tend to find that there's a problem.
Okay, so smart casual.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Flexible. Yeah. Flexible clothing. Mm. And then shoes. Shoes are always a bit of a gripe for us chiropractors. We find that it causes lots of foot problems, ankle, knee and hip problems, and obviously ultimately back problems. So if you... I'd like to say ladies, but maybe some men like to wear high heel shoes too. But if you are wearing them, try and make sure that the shoe is properly fitted so that you're not slopping about in the shoe, particularly while you're walking. Try and walk a little bit slower. Try and walk tall, head up, chin out, shoulders back, and try and walk more gracefully. Try not to run in high heels, because that will cause some issues with the knees and back and ankles and things like that. So shoe foot. Where, and if you're going to be on your feet a long time during the evening, it is something that you need to consider.
Well, I mean, I think there must be people that do this. They pack a pair of more comfortable shoes for...
Flatties, yeah. Yes, in the handbag for later. Yeah. Yes, for later, yeah. For dancing and things, okay.
And
yeah,
that's,
perhaps.
That's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
You can go out feeling on top of the world, full of glam in your high heels, but later on in the evening...
Have a change.
Have a change. Would be a good idea. Nobody's going to be too worried about that. No. And they'll be pleased that you've not hurt yourself and that you're still in action the next day. Back to Christmas decorations at home. Going up a ladder, then. We've talked about going into the loft, but the Christmas tree may be something that you need a ladder to get to the top. The trouble is, people think, I can reach the top of that. I don't need a ladder. Mm. I can stand on this chair.
It's the overstretching that we've got, and stretching at an angle is where you've got to be careful. So if you are stretching and twisting, you're going to have some problems if you stretch in the wrong way. So try and get as close as possible. Try and keep your shoulders and your hips and knees pointing in the same direction so that you're not twisting. And again, have some assistance there to make sure that the chair doesn't tip or that the ladder is relatively safe. Your safety is first.
I mean, to be honest, the advice you've just given there sounds like the sort of advice that should be given to me on the office party night out. You know, don't twist, don't slip, make sure the chair is firmly planted and have a ladder nearby. That's how I approach the office party, really. But that was actually for putting up your Christmas tree decorations. And Christmas shopping, maybe the world is changing sufficiently now with online shopping. Although there's still that point, isn't there? Even if you order it online, it's delivered to the door. There may be something left at your door by a burly courier.
Yeah, again, really just make sure that, you know, test the weight of it first before you lift it. Again, stand as close as possible, bend your knees, keep your arms close to your body, lock your elbows so that you're lifting in a very fixed position and keep that shoulders and hips in line so that you're not twisting again. And take small steps if you're turning around to get into the house, little mini steps to make a rotational circle to get into the front door. And then try and put it down on a surface as well, rather than trying to put it on the floor, because just physically getting back down onto the floor again with that heavy box could cause some issues.
And if you are going and doing the shopping in the shops, then the likelihood is you'll end up with a few bags, endless carrier bags. Well, it used to be. I'm not sure if people still use carrier bags. Now you have to pay 5p for them. But not only did they cut into your fingers terribly after a while, but potentially you could be hurting your back and shoulders, couldn't you?
Pre-think about what you're doing. Maybe take, now we've got to take our own bags, perhaps take some rucksacks or a trolley or something like that with you. Try and load it so it's heavy at the bottom and keep it close to your body while you're carrying it around. Perhaps if you have brought the car into town, maybe do little trips backwards and forwards to the car so you're not carrying excessive amounts. But when you're carrying a bag of any sort in your arms, try and make sure that you are, first of all, it's even weight distribution between left and right. If you're carrying it heavier one side than the other side, then that's going to cause an imbalance in some of the muscles, which can cause some tension. And believe it or not, that tension goes right up to the back of the head. And if you get home and you've got this stinking headache, then it's likely that the muscles at the back of your neck and the back of your shoulders have caused that from just carrying heavy shopping bags and carrying them out of balance for long periods of time.
The final two thoughts I've got to do with food and massage, really. If you are feeling a bit...
together, I don't know if I've gone.
I wasn't suggesting that they should be done together, no. But the that thing where you have got a bit of stiffness in the neck or the shoulders through overexertion, shopping, whatever, can somebody, assuming they are partners, they know each other well enough, how would you give a massage to relieve a bit? Is it hard with thumbs or best to do it gently with oil?
It's firm, but not... The patient would complain if you were pressing too hard, but you would tend to get tired of doing that before they would get tired of you doing it to them. Okay. So as long as you're not bruising and damaging the skin...
And can it make a difference, genuinely?
I think a lot of patients would do find that their partner's massaging them and to relieve some of the tension and the stress in the neck and shoulders is very beneficial and very effective, yes.
Okay, so bear that in mind. And then thoughts on food and drink. Are you a person who throws all cares and inhibitions out of the window come Christmas time, or do you always?
I would never reveal that information. Well, it's a time of overindulgence for a lot of us, isn't it? Really, where we like to drink a little bit more and eat a little bit of more of the naughty things. But one of the things we always recommend is drink plenty of water to try and dilute that alcohol a little bit and keep your skin and bodies rehydrated. And in this time of year, when the days are very short and we're not getting enough sunlight and getting out and about, drink more water, and try and get out perhaps at lunchtime and have a little brisk walk with a bottle of water to rehydrate yourself. But looking when you get up in the morning, if you've been overindulging the night before, perhaps again lots of water, but breakfast on complex carbohydrates such as porridges or mueslis, and lots of protein, lots of perhaps ham and eggs and bacon. Have that sort of nice fry up for breakfast rather than eating sugary cereals and fruit juices and things like that. Try and avoid those.
Well, we'll leave it on that. Have a fry-up is the advice for a successful Christmas. That's excellent news from Beeston chiropractor Alex Newton. I know it's a way off, but we probably won't see you before the new year, now, will we?
So have a
great Christmas.
And to you.
We'll catch up with you in the new year, and I'm hoping everybody heeding your advice has a literally stress and strain-free Christmas. Half